The time before, we discussed the situation in Eretz Yisrael after the Petira of Shimon HaTzadik, and we spoke about Antignus Yisrael until we came to the Tkufa of Yesi ben Yezer and Yesi ben Shoya. We explained that in Eretz Yisrael we have a situation of Tztukin, the Baisusim, the Yevanim, the Greek influence, the Misyavnim, those Yidden that were influenced by the Greeks. We also discussed the Amei Ha'aretz, people that were poor people, uneducated people, people who weren't able to learn Torah, and as a result, they were attracted to the lifestyle and the lessons of the way of life that the Yevanim taught and the Misyavnim taught in Eretz Yisrael. And we also spoke about the fact that we now have a situation where we have for the first time in Klal Yisrael a Nasi, Yesi ben Yezer. So he became the Nasi in Klal Yisrael. And the position of Navi is a very unique position, because at this time in Eretz Yisrael, we ran into a problem, and a problem is going to get more acute as we go along, that the leader amongst the people, at least Klapei Chutz, Klapei the Goyim, was the Kohen Gadol. This came about because Shimon HaTzadik went out to greet Alexander the Great, and he was the spokesman for the Yidden, and it was always assumed that the spokesman, the one who represented Klal Yisrael, therefore was the Kohen Gadol. The truth is that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, but he also was the Gadol Hador. It now became important to separate the position, I guess we'll call it the position of Gadol Hador, from the position of Kohen Gadol. Because the reason is that the Kohen Gadol is a position that one could inherit from a parent, even though they themselves didn't necessarily have all of the qualifications that one would expect to find from Zarei Shel Aaron HaKohen, or to find at a child of Shimon HaTzadik. He didn't truly represent Klal Yisrael. Masha'en came the position of Gadol Hador, or Nasi. So that position was given to a person who was the major Talmud Chacham, Tzaddik, Gadol of the generation. And in order for a person to qualify for that position, it didn't help who his father was, who his grandfather was, it didn't help anything except for who the person himself was. We're going to learn further on about Shmai Vavtalyim, that's where Gerim, they themselves had no yichus whatsoever. But they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael because of who they themselves were. And the reason that this position was created, this position of Nasi was created, was because the Chachamim realized that now there's going to be this problem of having an appointed official, not a person who Dafka is worthy of the position representing Klal Yisrael. This could bring tremendous tzaras. So we now have the position of the Nasi, and then the next greatest person is the Avdez, and we find in Pirkei Avos, Keseda, as we go along, these two positions that we have in Klal Yisrael, the Nasi and the Avbezin, who were the ones that represented Klal Yisrael, sadly enough, not always for the Goyim, but at least as far as Klal Yisrael internally was concerned, Klal Yisrael knew that these are our leaders. We discussed that about the tumah on Big Day Am Ha'aretz in order to create a separation with Amaratzim. We spoke about the tumah about on Chutz La'aretz, in order not to go out of Eretz Yisrael, because they realized the hashpah that was coming from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael. And one other thing that we have to talk about is the fact that in the time of Yosi ben Yoizer and Yosi ben Treira, that was the time that Machlokes started in Klal Yisrael. The Mishnah Rechon Zeis, that there was a Machlokes ben Hagea to the Inyan of Smicha, and this is a Machlokes that went on from one generation to another generation, began the Inyan of Machlokes in Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says that it came about because they weren't mishamish as rabbim kolika, because there was a chesaron in being mishamish their rabbeim. And what this means is that until this point, every Talmud knew word for word exactly everything that his Rebbe had to teach him. And therefore there was no makom for machloikis, because everything was given over, word for word, lesson to lesson, exactly what a person must do was given over from the Rebbe to the Talmud, and the Talmud was eager to accept every single word that the Rebbe had to teach him, because the Talmud realized that the Rebbe was on a much higher madrega than him. Our Messiah, the Indian of our Messiah, is based on the fact that by Har Sinai the Torah was given to us, and we also know about the Indian of Yeridas HaDeiris, the further on we go from Har Sinai, so the generations get weaker and weaker, even though it could very well be that scientifically the generations get bigger and bigger, that's possibly true. But that's when it comes to nyanim of gashmis, not nyanim of ruchnis, nyanim of kedusha, and the Torah, that it, of course, is the inyan of ruchnis and of kedusha. The chokhmas haTorah has to do with godless, with the madregas of kedusha. And so as we go further and further away from Har Sinai, and we come to a situation of niskatnu haDeiris, we have a situation where we ourselves know that the Talmidim are not nearly as great as their Rabbeim. So the Talmud is eager to learn every single word that the Rebbe has to teach him, and there's no makom for machlokes. However, now that we are in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael because of the influence of the Yevanim, and as we explained, the influence of the Yevanim is the influence of Geus Adam Tashbilenu, the gaiva of a person, that the people felt that they themselves have a mila, and it's not necessary to learn every single thing from a Rebbe, because I can understand by myself. And of course we understand, we're talking about Tanoim, and the Gewaldige Madregis of Tanoim. And this is obvious also because we see that there was only just one machloikis. Everything else was not a machloikis. So, of course, we have to understand it when we're dealing with the madregas, these tremendous madregas. However, this mashu of influence came about through the Yevanim, and we could see clearly how this influence does come from the Yevanim. This influence of Godless Adam, as I mean, was up to Ashmek from Godless Adam, of the Reingekrochen, Hafilu by the Eden, is the Mela from this came about that there wasn't an Indian of a Machlaikis. It wasn't so clear. They weren't so certain anymore. Vos of the Rebbe Gesagt, one was certain one way, one was sure it was the other way, and the Mela, the Indian of Machlaikis, came about. We also see that they weren't able to be keveya the halacha, because it always remained a machlokes. They, or I should say, that they weren't able to convince one tzad over the other tzad. It always remained a machlokes. The halacha, they were keveya what the halacha was, but somehow they weren't able to convince one side or the other side. It remained a machlokes. Also shows us a schwachkeit, in Schwachkeit, in the Madrigas of Limud HaTorah. Could very well be, we don't know, but it could very well be that because of the fact that Machlokes began, that perhaps this weakened the position of Nasi. If everybody would have accepted every single thing that came from the Nasi, so that would have given more koyach to the influence of the Nasi. The fact that there was Machlokes, and the fact that there were different days, different shittas, even though it was, like we mentioned, only one day, one shita, so perhaps this weakened the position of Nasi and made it so that the Nasi wasn't able to have as great an influence as he would have wanted to have, b'negeya to the Eden living in Eretz Yisrael. We also have to understand that at that time in Eretz Yisrael, although we're explaining that the influence of the Yevonim, of this Inyan of Gashmias, of Kavod HaAdam, Gadlus HaAdam, so to say, Binageya to Gashmias, was spreading throughout Eretz Yisrael. As a result of this, there was a movement which went to the opposite extreme. This was a movement of people who will call them people that were Purushim from Inyanim of Olam Hazeh as much as possible. They separated themselves from Inyanim of Olam Hazeh, the opposite of the Misyavnim, the opposite of the influence. It's almost like you would say as a reaction to the influence that came from the Yevonim. These people have to show that our life is kulay ruchnius, kulay without showing the godless of a person. If anything, just the opposite, the person, the gashmiistic of a person, the goof of the person, is nothing and nothing. The possessions that a person has, everything is nothing, and they went to the opposite extreme of trying to live a life of that has the minimal amount of gashmius that is shaykh. And lamashal, these are people that live together in a group, and all of their possessions belong to everybody b'shava. It wasn't mine and yours. Everything that we had was ours. They didn't get married, they didn't live with women, because they wanted to be perished from that hano. They worked the land, and they lived off of what the land gave out, and that's how they lived, a very, very simple life. They used to be mishamish, everybody was mishamish, everybody else. There was no inyan of one person who was more choshev than anybody else. Everything was equal. All of their possessions were equal. And even b'negeya to the status of each one of the people, they also were equal. Everything was the same. Now, this also is kineged the Derech HaTorah. The Derech HaTorah is, and if we had to put it into a nutshell, we would say that the Derech HaTorah teaches us how to live a life of a gashmiistic life, because we're living a gashmiistic life, but we're living it on a ruchmiistic life. How to elevate our gashmiistic life to madreges in ruchnius, not to leave go, not to walk away from the gashmiistic life. My money is my money, it's mine, and somebody else is not allowed to take it away from me. If he takes it away from me, then he's a goslin. I, on my own, am supposed to take from my money and give it to a person who is needy, and that's the Gantz Inyan of Spokah and Chesed. But to say that we all share everything, that's not at all the Derech HaTorah. The Derech HaTorah teaches us what to do with our possessions, but it's our possession. the Derech HaTorah doesn't teach us that everybody is the same and that everybody is equal. To the contrary, there aren't any two people that are the same. There are no two people that are equal. We have Kehanim, we have Levim, we have Yisraelim, we have Tamidei Chachamim, we have people who are less Tamidei Chachamim, we have people that are worthy of Kavod, we have people that are worthy of Chashivas. If anything, it's the opposite. It's for the person to learn how to deal, first of all, with people who have Milas, and also it's how these people who have Milas, how they are supposed to deal with their Milas, to understand that the Milas that they have, they have to utilize, bring them more responsibility. It's not something that they're supposed to benefit from. The Kayin is Chashiv, but the Kayin is supposed to be Masharis Klal Yisrael. The Levi is Chashiv, but he's Chashiv because he's being Masharis Klal Yisrael. Even the Talmud Chacham is Chashiv because of what he has, but he also has tremendous responsibilities about the way that he has to conduct himself, and also Binegeya to the responsibilities that he has to everybody else. So it's not that that the lessons of the Torah teach us that everything is equal and that we lead a life of complete equality. It's just the opposite. The Torah teaches us how to lead a life, how to lead a Gashmiistic life, how to lead a life in a world where things are not at all equal, and how different people have different possessions and have different statuses in this world, how they have to deal with each other. It's almost like one would say that without the Torah, if a person doesn't have the lessons of the Torah, so then if he wants to lead a Ruchniistic life, well, this is the only choice that he has. If a person doesn't understand how to get along with his fellow man, he doesn't know how to be Mekayim V'Avtarech or Kameicha properly, then he needs to be a hermit. Because if he's going to live together with other people, then obviously he's not going to deal properly with other people. So the only etzah for him is to live like a hermit. But to live like a hermit, that's not right either. How is he going to be Mekayim V'Avtarech or Kameicha if he's leading the life of a hermit? How are you supposed to have the proper harocha for everybody else, proper respect, kavod ha'odom for everybody else, if you don't have this feeling, in this sense, that somebody else perhaps is more chashiv than you? So this is not at all the life that the Torah wants us to live. On the contrary, this is k'neged the derech ha'Torah, but as we said, as a sort of a reaction to the influence that came from the Yevanim. So this was also a group of people that developed at that time. So we might say that Nebuch, when we're talking about, we're going up almost 100 years into the second Beis HaMikdash, it was quite a mixture of different people that were living in Eretz Yisrael. However, the majority of the people followed, and we'll see this further on also, followed the lead of the Chachamim, followed the lessons of the Chachamim. The Nesiim that we had in Klal Yisrael, they followed through with their obligations of leading Klal Yisrael on the proper Derech and the Derech HaTorah. But the situation in Eretz Yisrael was a very, very dangerous situation. At this point, we're going to have to go through a little historically what took place and how ultimately we're going to slowly but surely come to the Nes of Hanukkah and ultimately come to a situation where the Kayach of the Greeks was Nismayit and ultimately the Greeks were chased out of Eretz Yisrael. As we explained before, the Malchus of Alexander was divided up into three different groups. Eretz Yisrael was found between Syria, the Malchus of Syria and Mitzrayim and Egypt. And till now we were discussing that Eretz Yisrael was under the control of the Egyptians, but the Egyptians who had the culture of the Greeks. So these are Egyptians, the Taka Mitzrayim, but the Mitzrayim that had the culture of the Greeks. There was always Milchama between the Mitzrayim and between the Syrians. And again, culturally, they both were Greeks. They both had Greek culture. But as far as where the power was concerned, so there was constantly warfare between the two. And of course, this affected Klal Yisrael directly. The situation became that the king over the Syrians, his name was Antiochus, not the famous Antiochus, but an Antiochus nevertheless, and he was a Syrian and he fought against the Mitzrayim. And at that time the Chacham felt that we should back his movement to take control of Eretz Yisrael. We would have been better off, we are better off being under the control of Antiochus, who was the Melech of the Syrians, then to be under the control of the Yevanim, because it was through the Yevanim that the Yosef and Tuvia, as you mentioned, the tax collector, had such a tremendous kayach. His kayach came because of the fact that he had the backing of the Greek army. In order to loosen the stranglehold that he had on Eretz Yisrael and on the Eden, the Chacham decided that we should back Antiochus, back the Syrians. As a result, the Syrians won the Milchama against the Mitzrayim, and through that, the Gzeiris that the Yevanim made through the influence of Yosef and Tuvia became bottle, and for 22 years, there was some peace that reigned in Eretz Yisrael because this Malchus of Antiochus HaMelech in those 22 years, his Malchus was more or less favorable towards the Chachamim and towards the Sanhedrin, and Memela we were able to live peaceably in Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, the Kayin Gadol, we mentioned Chanyai, Kayin Gadol died, and in his place, he was taken over by his son, Shimon. This Shimon, well, his cousins were Yosef ben Tuvia, the children of Yosef ben Tuvia. And he was friendly with the children of Yosef ben Tuvia. We have to remember that they were the wealthy ones that were found in Eretz Yisrael. Although they didn't have that much influence at that time because the Malchus changed, but the wealth was still in their hands. And he was attracted, the Shimon was attracted to the wealth of his cousins. So, once again, the situation wasn't so simple anymore. Ultimately, this Shimon died, and in his place, the one who took over was, again, somebody whose name was Chanyai. He took over this position as Kohen Gadol. He was a tzaddik, and he tried to chase out of Eretz Yisrael all of the children of Yosef and Tuvia, chase them out of Eretz Yisrael, take away their influence completely from Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of the tzaris that he gave to the children of Yosef and Tuvia. So this Yosef and Tuvia, these cousins, one of them went to the minister that was there in Eretz Yisrael who represented the Melech. And he told the Melech as follows. Till now, this job of Yosef and Tuvia was to collect taxes. And by collecting taxes, he was able to bring a tremendous amount of wealth into the hands of the Greeks. And as you mentioned, now that was under the control of the Syrians, so they paid taxes to the Syrians. Well, he went And he told this minister that he needs to know that in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, around the Beis HaMikdash, the Eden have stored away much, a huge treasury of gold and silver. And all of this is found around the Beis HaMikdash. It is true, there was much gold and silver that was found in the Beis HaMikdash, because we have to remember that from all over the world, Eden sent money to the Beis HaMikdash in order to bring karbonis for the Bedek HaBayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, in order that everything should be properly done in the Beis HaMikdash, and also to say to bring karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. Even everybody wanted to have a chelik of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore there was a tremendous storage house of gold and silver that was found in the Beis HaMikdash. The one who headed the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, I guess we should say the Kohen Gadol, because he was the head of all of the Kehanim. So he was in control of the Avodah that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. He was also in control of all of the gold and silver, the wealth that was found in the Beis HaMikdash. And so he went to the minister of the king, and he told him that there is another source of revenue to get from the Jews. They have stored away all of this gold and silver. And if you have control of the Kohen Gadol, and you have control of all that goes on in the Beis HaMikdash, so then you have access to a tremendous amount of wealth. Now, at this time, the king, the Syrians were at war. There were different wars that were waging at that time. They were waging wars even against the Romans. The Romans were starting to become very powerful. And so they came to the Beis HaMikdash. They needed the money. They came to the Beis HaMikdash in order to take away the money. The Mises told over that there was a nest that took place, and they called together the Kehanim, and there was a Yen Tzayim and a Yen Tfilah. All of Klal Yisrael came together to fast and to daven. And there was a nest that took place. There was a tremendous koil godol and a rash godol that happened amongst all of the soldiers that came with the Syrians. And as a result, all of the soldiers ran away. And then there was a vision of a person riding on a horse, who, a very powerful person, a very strong person, he came riding up to the minister of the king. And as a result, this minister, he ran away, to an inch of his life, he ran away, he was able to save himself. And so for that moment, at least, the situation got a little bit better. But, as we can well understand, that this Shimon we mentioned, the cousins, in other words, of this Chanyai, who wanted always to take revenge from this Chanyai, because this Chanyai wanted to give them tzaris, so they were always looking for different ways in order to bring down them, in order to bring down the koyach of this Chanyai. They didn't know what to do anymore with these people, and they decided that the only way to get control is to go to the king himself and to tell the king that what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, these are the children of this Yosef ben Tuvia, and they can't be relied on, they don't represent the Jewish people. A representative was sent to the king, but by the time they got to the king had died, and the one that took his place was Antiochus. But this Antiochus now is Antiochus Harosha, the one who we know by the name and the title of Antiochus Harosha. This Antiochus, he was a Yevoni through and through. And for him, it meant nothing that the people that were leading the people, the Nasi, him he had no respect whatsoever for the Nasi, the fact that the Nasi was a holy person or any of this had no meaning to him whatsoever. To him, he had only one thing in mind, and that was he wanted the money, he wanted the wealth. And therefore, to him, that they should come and they should tell him, if they would come and they would tell him that he shouldn't take away the wealth that was found in the Beis HaMikdash, because they needed for Kabbonis, needed for the Beis HaMikdash, this was all meaningless to him. Well, when the children of Yosef and Tuvia saw the change in the Malchus that took place, so they went and they spoke to the brother of this Chanyai. His name was Yeshu. And he was, in fact, his Greek name became Jason. And they told him, and he already wasn't on the same madrega of this Chanyai, told him, he says, you go to the king, bring much gold and silver as a matana to the king, and tell him that he should make you into the Kohen Gadol. Fire your brother from the position of Kohen Gadol, and that he should make you into the Kohen Gadol. And promise him, bring him wealth, and promise him that if he's going to make you the Kohen Gadol, so then you are going to bring him much of the riches that are found in the Beis HaMikdash, and he is going to be able to have access to the wealth that's found in Eretz Yisrael. This Jason, he was from the Misyavnim, and he understood that the only way that you could possibly get the Eden, so to cooperate with him and to be willing to give away the wealth to Antiochus HaRosho, was somehow to break the spirit of the people. And therefore, he went to this Antiochus HaRosho and told them that we have to make it so that the Eden should leave go of their emunah, leave go of their belief, not only leave go of their belief, but leave go of their whole lifestyle that comes along with the emunah of a Yid. This whole way of living that a Yid has, that is dictated by the Derech HaTorah, so we have to find a way in order to just destroy this and get them to lead the life of the Greeks. And this is the first time in our history that we have a situation where people, Goyim, came to Yidden and tried to get us to change our lifestyle. By Gull's Bubble, this is not what happened. In the Tzrayim, this is not what happened. But now, for the first time, we have people that made Gezeiris against the Eden, Gezeiris against our Amunah, Gezeiris against the whole Mahalach HaChaim of Ayid, in order to try to get us to give up the Derech HaTorah and to take upon ourselves the Derech of the Yevonim. And this came about only because of the fact that these Misyavnim, the Eden, these Misyavnim convinced the Yevonim, convinced the Syrians, that if you keep at it, you'll be able to break the back, you'll be able to break the spirits of the Eden. The Goyim themselves would never have tried this. They never would have attempted this. But it was through the encouragement of this Misyavnim that they attempted to do this in order to get the Eden to give up their Derech HaChaim. One of the things that they did right away in the beginning was they put up a gymnasium, a place for sport, in the middle of Yerushalayim. And today we have, we know that we have the Olympics that exist. Even till today, well, we know that the Olympics is something that came about through the Greeks. The Greeks are the ones who had the Olympics where a person had to show off competition, vinayaya, to strength and to speed and so forth and so on. And this has no mokum klal in Yiddishkeit. This, we know what it means, a Talmud Chacham, an aggressor Talmud Chacham, of the fact that somebody could take something and throw it further, and Yenna could throw it noch weiter, or one could beat up somebody else, whatever, the Chabin Kosset does it ishkeh maila bayutz. So they went, and they built this gymnasium in the middle of Yerushalayim. And the derech of the Yevonim was that when they used to compete, they would compete arumim, as they were naked. And it became now a situation that there were Yidden that were embarrassed to compete. They wanted to compete, but they were embarrassed to compete because they had the bris milah. So Ibazoi, there now was pressure on parents when children were born not to be mal their children, or people, adults who already were nimoilim, they tried to hide the fact because they were embarrassed of the fact that that they were nimoilim. They wanted to look like the Greeks. They wanted that the Eden should be able to become Syrian citizens, that they should be like the Galician citizens, not just like people of a different country with a different culture, but we should take on their culture, we should take on their belief, we should take on their way of dress, and little by little, they understood that little by little with making these gzeiros against Klal Yisrael. So sooner or later, everything would be wiped out. So we would become like the Greeks. If we would become like the Greeks, so then, and what would be respected amongst the Jews would be wealth and would be physical abilities, so then the leaders of Klal Yisrael would then become the children of Yosef and Tuvia. Not the Chachamim, and this is what they wanted. They wanted power. They wanted to take away the power from the Chachamim. The Chachamim had power, as we mentioned, because the Yidden looked up to the Talmidei Chachamim as their leaders. Well, if you can get the Yidden to change their whole lifestyle and to convince them somehow that what is Chashiv is something else entirely, well, then the Chashivas would go to the hands of those who are wealthy, to those who had the physical abilities, not Kaisus and Tyra. But the one thing that they didn't want to do was when they refused to lower themselves to that Madrega to put up an Avodah Zarah in the Kodesh HaKadosh. That much they didn't want to do. And there was pressure in order that they should do this, but this Jason refused to do it. Well, they found somebody else that was willing to do this. His name was Menelaus. This Menelaus, he was even wealthier than this Jason, and they gave him plenty more money. They told him to go to the king in Syria and convince the king of Syria to appoint him as the Kohen Gadol. Now, he wasn't even a Kohen. If he's not a Kohen, then obviously he can't become a Kohen Gadol. But what does Kohen Gadol have to do with the Kohen as far as the king of Syria is concerned? The Kohen Gadol was just a position of power. It was a position of leadership. And he promised that he would be able to get the Eden even quicker to turn around and to become like the Greeks, and he would be able to influence them at a much faster pace, that they should be able to the wealth that was found in Eretz Yisrael should be able to go over to the hands of the king of Syria. And so, as we mentioned before, the melech of the Syrian king was under lots of pressure, for he needed money. He needed money because of the battles that he had against the Romans. there was times of Milchama between the followers of Jason and the followers of Menelaus, and there was a question of exactly who's going to land up on top. But little by little, Menelaus landed up on top, and the reason he landed up on top was because he had the backing of the king, because the king knew that his Menelaus would go to greater extremes in order to help him to convert the Jews, that they should become like the Goyim. So therefore, this Menelaus, he was the one that was backed, and therefore eventually. He took over the Koyach in Eretz Yisrael through the Gzeiris that came from Antiochus HaRoshah. They made Gzeiris in Klal Yisrael that all of the Yidden have to serve the Avodah Zarah, just like the Yevanim. And as we explained in the past, serving the Avodah Zarah of the Yevanim was to take on the lifestyle, the culture of the Yevanim, and they also couldn't bring Karbonis on the Mizbeah. And they also started shechting behemoth tameis on the Mizbeach. They made gezeiros that Yidden couldn't keep Shabbos, couldn't keep Yontif. They couldn't be Mekadosh the Chodesh, and not being able to Mekadosh the Chodesh, of course, affected the establishment of the Yom Tovim. They made gzeiros against kashrus, against mila, and in general, basically what happened was that the whole makeup of the Yiddish 11, the Taridic 11 in Eretz Yisrael, all came to an end. Once again, we have to remember that the Yevanim on their own never would have done this. In fact, after they made the gzeiros, so the Yidden, they would refuse to stand for this. And like you had demonstrations in the streets, I guess, like you'd have today. There were demonstrations in the streets against the Yevanim. And the Yevanim figured, you know, what do we need this for? It just wasn't worth it for them. And these people are very, very stubborn people. And they assumed that they're never going to win this one. But the Nisyavnim, they're the ones that came. And they told him that... that no, you have to have patience, and you're going to see that sooner or later you're going to win. Just keep at it. So it was actually the Misyavnim that were encouraged Nebuch, the Yevanim, that they should keep up with their gzeiros, and they guaranteed them that sooner or later they're going to break the spirit of the people. And they're going to win. They also made a gzeira that you weren't allowed to learn Torah. And they burnt, Rachman al-Islam, the Sifrei Torah. And they went into the Beis HaMikdash. The Misyavnim went into the Beis HaMikdash. They called the Beis HaMikdash Olympus, because that was the name of their Avodah Zarah, Rachman al-Islam. And this way, by making these gzeiros against the Eden and having the Koyach, having this tremendous power, so they figured that sooner or later they're going to destroy the whole situation of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. The Eden that were living in Eretz Yisrael at that time, so there was no way that they could tolerate this situation. And so therefore they ran away from the cities. They ran into the forests, and there they served the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they lived like they lived off of the fields. But at least there in the forest, they were able to live. They were able to live like Eden. And here, by the way, we see a very interesting situation. We mentioned it once before, and I think it's kedai to mention it again. Kol Zman, the Yevanim, made gzeiros against the Eden, that we had to pay taxes. The situation wasn't Gishmak, because we were under the Memshola of the Goyim, whether it was the Greeks or the Syrians. So we tolerated it. But as soon as the gzeiros were made against the Eden, B'negeya, Teshmiras, Teire, U'mitzvahs, this was something that we couldn't coloring. And we took the derech that hopefully that this was the type of a derech that we should be able to live with, that the we ran away into the fields, and that's where we lived. It's brought down that they made gzeirah, as I'll say, they made gzeirah. The Yikosva Karen Hashor She'ein Lahem Chelik B'Yisrael V'Lekei Yisrael, that they should write on the Karen Hashor that they don't have a Chelik V'Lekei Yisrael. So, of course, there is much tifkait in this Chazal of why they made it, write it on Karen Hashor, but in the simple pshat, what this means is that all over, they made them write all over this point, wherever you look, like they did in Russia in the time of the communists, when they wanted to wipe out Yiddishkeit from the people, from the Yidden that were living in Russia. So they put up signs all over the walls, wherever a person saw, wherever he went. So there was propaganda all over the place. And they figured that with so much propaganda, slowly but surely, they're going to drive out the Yiddishkeit from the people. And in Russia, Nebuch, they were, to a certain degree, successful. Well, this is what they tried to do over here also. Propaganda all over the place. Wherever people went, they should see, and they should get used to the fact that they have to take on a life without Torah. We have to understand that the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael were promised by the Yevonim that if they were going to take on the belief of the Yevonim, they wouldn't be secondary citizens in amongst the Syrians. If anything, just the opposite. They would be accepted with open arms in the Syrian community, and they would get very prestigious positions amongst the Syrians. But still, the Yidden refused. By and large, the Yidden refused to take on the das of the goyim. We're told that also the Medrash says that they took off the doors of the houses of the Yidden. Because if a person doesn't have, he goes into his house, there's no Indian of Tzniyas, he doesn't have the peace of living in a house by himself, because he always has to be afraid that Ganavim are going to come. It's not a derech for a person to live. By doing this, eventually, you break the spirit of a person. Has no rest, and he has no peace. He has no family life. Because of the gzeira that they had to write al keren hashor, that ein lahem chelik b'elokei Yisrael, so what they did was is they sold their behemoths in order that they shouldn't have to write this on their behemoths. And the Medrash says that there was a nest that took place, that through the open doors that were there, the birds came flying in, kosher birds came flying in, so that they had what to eat. So that gave them cheshik, gave them the ability to be able to continue the protest against the Syrians. They made gezeiros against the Yidden, that they weren't able, that women are not able to be tevil from tumah, and if they would be caught being tevil, they would be sold as shivchis. So the Yidden did was they were perished from the sheisayim, they were perished from their wives, in order that they shouldn't have to go to be tevil. They also made a gzeira, and this is the gzeira that we know from the beginning of the Gemara in Ksubis, that psula at nisis, before psula who gets married, tiboy lehei bin tchila. And the Gemara tells us that there were days that were designated for days when normally a person would get married. So they kept watch on those days to see who's going to get married, in order that this gezeira should be on these psulas, that they would have to live with the minister first. They would first have to live with the minister. So all of these different gezeiras that they made against the Yidden, so we understand it was Tereisa's Yiddishkeit, it was Tereisa's Torah Mitzvahs. But it was more than just rising as Yiddishkeit and Torah Mitzvahs. It was Tereisa's Taras Yisrael, the whole musik of Torah should be out of Klal Yisrael. and understand this from the position that where the Greeks are coming from, Atadosas and Zergansa Maila over the Goyim, the fact that the Kedushas Yisrael, that's what we have. This is our strength against the Greeks, Kedushas Yisrael. So that's the thing that they try to destroy, and they also try to destroy the covet that people have, the self-respect, being able to lead an independent life of a person that has some type of a self-respect. So they were trying to destroy also by the different gezeiros that they made against the Yid. Now, in the different svarim that we have that talk about what happened at that time of the Midrashim, we know that the following took place. There was a Yid who was a Talmud of Antigonus Yisrochai, and his name was Matisyo ben Yoichanan. And this Matisyo ben Yoichanan was the Kohen Gadol at that time. This Matisyo ben Yoichanan, he was one of the leaders amongst the Eden. And when he saw all that was happening, so he ran away from Yerushalayim and he went to the city of Modin. And this was in sort of an out-of-way type of out-of-the-way city. It wasn't the central point in Eretz Yisrael. And he was hopeful that perhaps over there he would be able to lead the life of Eid. However, the soldiers realized that he ran away. They ran after him. And when they came to the city, they built a mizbeach in the middle of the city. They brought him to the mizbeach, this Matisyahu, and they ordered him to shecht a chazer on the mizbeach. And they promised him that if he's going to do this, if he's going to bring a chazer for the Avodah Zarah on the mizbeach, so then as a reward, they would make him into a very prominent minister amongst the goyim. Their feeling was, being that he was an important individual, if he would do this, others would follow his lead, and that would be a tremendous step in what they were trying to accomplish. But this Matisyo didn't listen to them. He went over to this soldier, and he actually went over to one of the Misyavnim, and he went when he refused to do it, so one of the Misyavnim went and he did it in his place. When Matisyo saw what this Misyavnim did, so he jumped over to him and he took a knife that he had hidden underneath his coat and he cut off the head of this Misyavnim, of the Misyavnim that were trying to force him to do it. And the head fell down and his body fell on top of the chazir that was found on the Mizbeach. And when the people that were standing there saw that what was happening, so they all were shocked and they stood back. And Matisyo then took his sword, him together with his sons, and they waged war against the soldiers that were standing around. And they ran away. From that point on, they ran away and ran into the woods. And he then called to the people. And he said that, he told the people, he says, if a person is Chared L'Dvar Hashem, Yavai Acharai, anybody who has some Yirah Shemayim, there's no place anymore in Eretz Yisrael, in any of the towns in Eretz Yisrael, that we could live like Yidden. So anybody who has any Yirah Shemayim, so he begged them to follow him, and they would try to live the life of Yidden outside of in the forest. And also he started, well, I guess we would call guerrilla warfare against the Misyavnim and against the Syrian soldiers. He brought together with him many of the people who had tremendous Yirah Shamayim, the tzaddikim, And they prepared themselves to wage war against the Misyavnim, against the soldiers, and against the Misyavnim. After a while, he went down into the cities where the Misyavnim were living, and he killed out many of the Misyavnim. He also saw to it that their children should be gemalt. And in Meika, he started waging war against the Misyavnim and against the Syrians. Ultimately, this Matisyo was an old person, and he realized that his days were numbered, so he called together his children, and he designated different children to take the lead in this Muhammad against the Misyavnim. And perhaps that's something that we'll talk about Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach in the next time. But here at this point, I just want to stop for a second and discuss what it was that Matisyo hoped to accomplish. And because Al Piderach HaTeva, there was no way that he could possibly succeed against the Misyavnim and against the Syrians. Anything short of an S. Did he expect that an S was going to take place? I don't know if he expected an S that was going to take place. Perhaps he thought that an S would take place. I don't think, though, that was the issue. If an S would not take place, it would not take place. That was Biyad Hashem. And that was the Ribbono Shel Olam's decision. What he knew was that to live like this is not a derech to live. And we can't live like this. And what we're mechuyev to do is to go al kiddush Hashem. If the Ribbono Shel Olam, Reb Chachmasai, wants that somehow we should succeed, so then he'll cause it so that we'll succeed. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reb Chachmasai decides that we shouldn't succeed, so then we'll die al kiddush Hashem, which is the Meir D'Gezach, to go al kiddush Hashem, the Meir D'Gezach. The Chofetz Chaim, there's a famous letter that was written from the Chofetz Chaim, that the Chofetz Chaim writes about the Bolshevik Revolution. That the Bolshevik Revolution, part of what the communists tried to do, and Nebuch to a large degree did, was they raised Yiddishkeit from, they had a special chelik of the Communist Party, made up of Eden, Rachman al-Islam, whose job was to raise his Yiddishkeit from other Eden. And they went, and they did quite a job. The Chofetz Chaim, Seif Yomov, said that it's a taina on us that we didn't pick up guns and tanks and planes or whatever else they had at those times to fight against them. We should have gone to fight. And the Chofetz Chaim says, and don't look at me and say that, what do you mean, go to fight? We could never win against the Russian government. How could we win? So the Chofetz Chaim says, well, the Matisyo Rabbanav also couldn't win. There was no way they could win. But it's not Megea. They went out Kiddush Hashem. This is not a way to live either. And we should have gone. We should have done what we could have done al kiddush Hashem. That's the time when the Chofetz Chaim said that people who go al kiddush Hashem, so they bring tremendous yata d'shmaya in the world. And perhaps later on we'll discuss exactly what the Chofetz Chaim said. But what we need to understand is that being that this was a gezeira, this is what the Chofetz Chaim explained. Being that this was a gezeira against the ruchnis to try to abolish the Ruchnius from Klal Yisrael, this was a time for us to go al Kiddush Hashem. And this is what Matisyo Rabbanav did when they realized that there was no way that they could possibly live under the circumstances that were found in Eretz Yisrael as Eden. So then they were left with only one choice. And that choice was to go to fight against the Goyim and to go al Kiddush Hashem. And Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, next time we'll discuss we'll get to the Maisa, the Nest of Hanukkah, and we'll get to the end of this Milchama.